Afternoon. Appreciate so much you being here tonight. I know there are other things you could be doing on a three-day weekend, and other things you could be doing on a Sunday night on a weekend such as this. You've chosen to come and to worship, study from His Word, and I want you to know that I appreciate that so very much. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, Peter tells us certain things that we need to add to our faith. He says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. We're not going to look at all of these tonight. I just want to look at one of these qualities that we need to add to our faith, and that is knowledge. We need to add to our faith knowledge. You know, the Bible places a great deal of emphasis on knowledge. This is the reason that the Israelites of old went into captivity. It says in Isaiah 5 and verse 13, therefore my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Also in Hosea 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Even their teachers, the priests, had rejected knowledge. In Colossians chapter 1 in the New Testament scriptures, Paul prays for these brethren. He says, for this reason, we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask what? That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being faithful, fruitful rather, in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And also in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Knowledge. The only way we're going to know God and know His will is through study. God has conveyed His mind to us. We learn about Him. We learn how to be in relationship with Him, where we can know Him personally through a study of His Word. So knowledge cannot be obtained without studying the Word of God. And so since knowledge is so important, we would do well to give thought as to how well we are progressing in adding this quality to our faith. And that's what I want to talk about this evening. I want to look at three needs in relation to knowledge. Three needs in relation to knowledge. The first one is we need a balanced knowledge. Knowledge of the Bible may be placed into two different categories. It may be doctrinal knowledge. We classify this category as doctrinal knowledge. The second one is general or textual knowledge. And what we mean by doctrinal knowledge is knowledge on those points of differences in religion. It's knowing what the Bible teaches about certain issues. We could list some of them up here. The purpose of baptism, the mode of baptism, what the Bible says about worship and song. Does it include mechanical instruments and music and worship? What the Bible says about once saved, always saved, which is what many believe. Speaking in tongues today. What does the Bible say about that? What does the Bible say about the doctrine of premillennialism? So, having a knowledge of what the Bible teaches about these questions, many believe today that's going to be brought up in discussion. We need to have a knowledge of that. We call this doctrinal knowledge. The general or textual knowledge is knowledge of the message of each book. What is in the book? It's an overall concept of what is in each book, what the message of the book is. You know, we may be able to list scriptures on various doctrinal subjects, but we may not be able to tell the context of those passages. And I'll tell you, whenever we use Scripture to prove a point, and we don't know the context, then it's a good possibility somewhere along the line we're going to misapply a passage. We're going to take it out of context. And the only way that we're going to know whether or not a certain passage is in context, as we then study with people on doctrinal issues, is in order to have this general or textual knowledge, to know what the book is about, what the general knowledge is of that book. Now I might ask, how well balanced is your knowledge of the Bible? Where would you say your strength is? This, is it in doctrinal knowledge? Is it in general textual knowledge? Maybe you have a good balance in these areas. Suppose you had to take a test, and the questions on the test ask, give the plan of salvation and give Scripture. Or why do we not use mechanical instruments of music in worship? Give Scripture. Or what does the Bible say about once saved, always saved? Give Scripture. How well could you do in that on that test? But let's say the question on another test was, what is the book of Ephesians about? And you have to kind of write a part of a paper in order to describe what the book of Ephesians is about. Or what the book of Philippians is about. How well would you do on that test? I tend to think that in this latter category is where we are lacking, probably. That's what we've neglected a lot of times, is our study of the context, the general knowledge of the books and of the passages. And so we need to have, though, a balanced knowledge. In other words, both are essential. Both are important if we're going to grow in the knowledge of God's will and if we're going to have a knowledge of Him. You know, the need for doctrine knowledge is obvious. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, we're told that we're to always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is within us with meekness and fear. So if someone asks you, why do you believe what you believe? Why do you have the hope that you have? We need to be ready to give them book, chapter, and verse for why we believe what we believe. Matthew 7 verse 15, Jesus says, beware of false prophets. Now, how are we going to know if he's a false prophet if we don't have a knowledge of these doctrinal issues and what the Bible teaches about them? 1 John 4 and verse 1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. I have the obligation to test what someone preaches. But here he preaches on a particular topic. Well, I need to test with the Word of God whether or not what he is teaching is true or not. And really, the people in Berea were considered as being more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they did that. They searched the Scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying was true or not. And that's what we need to be doing. And in doing that, we will have a knowledge of doctrinal knowledge of these issues that arise. In order to teach others, we need a knowledge in this area. And so we understand the need for doctrinal knowledge. But there's also a need to develop inward qualities like gratitude, love for and faith in prayer, love for the Word, commitment to things eternal, recognizing that we're just pilgrims and sojourners here upon this earth, and we look to things eternal in all the decisions that we make. We look to the reward in the things that we do in life. These are things. We need to have a constant consciousness of God, not only of who He is, but His attributes, His nature, His character. These are things that we need to develop. And I suggest to you that these are more an outgrowth of general knowledge. As we learn about what the writer is actually saying, what God is leading the writer to say about him and his dealings with those people to whom he was writing in the first century, or even in the Old Testament, and writing to the Jews of that day. And why was he writing? What was he saying to them? What does that say about God? And what does it say about them and how God was dealing with them? That's how we then develop these qualities of gratitude and love for and faith and prayer and so on mentioned here. So there is a need for this general knowledge as well. You know, we have mentioned Ephesians and Philippians. What are those books about? We could talk about other books like Romans. What do these books help you to see? If I ask you, as it relates to things that we need to develop within ourselves, what would the book maybe of Colossians develop within us? Would you know? Well, I tell you one thing, a greater appreciation for who Jesus is. Because it talks about Jesus and His deity and what He's done for us. What about Ephesians? What would that cause us to have a greater appreciation for? The church. Because that's what it emphasizes in that book. What about Romans? Well, it's talking about God's grace, how that we cannot save ourselves, but we are saved by grace. The grace of God is essential. Without God, there would be no salvation. And it emphasizes His love and mercy and grace that was extended for our salvation. And on we could go as we look at these books and we understand the meaning of these texts, these books, then we have a greater appreciation. As we study knowledge today, I challenge you to think in terms of this balance and set your heart on gaining a knowledge in both of these areas. Study on topics, we need that, issues. But also study what the books are actually saying, the context of each book. We also need to have a purposeful knowledge. Not only a balanced knowledge, we need a purposeful knowledge. You know, knowledge may be looked upon, first of all, as an end within itself, or it may be looked upon as a means to an end. As we think about as an end within itself, this is knowledge merely for knowledge's sake. In other words, I just want to learn. You know, certain people just like to learn, and they study in order to learn because they enjoy the knowledge that they get from it. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, maybe it's just to obtain curiosity. You remember Paul had come to, verse 21, but Paul had come to Athens, and the city was full of idolatry. Let's go back to verse 19. When they heard Paul preaching, there were those who were intrigued by his preaching. Verse 19, and they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange thing to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean." Notice verse 21. "For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." They wanted to learn, but it's just for curiosity's sake. It was just to learn new things. You know, I don't think Paul had too many who responded to the preaching of the gospel in Athens at this time. But that's the way some study, is just to learn for knowledge itself. When I was in Lincoln, I studied with a man. He took a Bible correspondence course. And we sent him first set of lessons. I think it was maybe a 7-lesson course. And he took that. And then he said, "I'd like to have another." And so I sent him an 8-lesson course. What we normally did, and he took that and did a great job, and he wanted another. Then I sent him a 26-lesson course, and he took that, and I think it finished it and completed it. But he was not one who was really interested in putting that into practice within his life. And that's the way some are. They just like to learn, and so they like to study. But there's the means to an end purpose. And that is, we must work to see that our knowledge is with purpose, not just intellectual interest. Our study needs to be with a goal in mind. And in order for us to accomplish what God intended for us to accomplish through our study, we need to have purpose. Our purpose needs to be truly to know Christ, not just to know about Him. We need to know about Him in order to know Him. But it's not just to know about Him, but it is to know Him, to have a relationship with Him. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, it's in this same context where we're told to add to our faith these qualities. He then says, for if these things are yours and abound, these qualities will add to our faith, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So having all of these qualities, we'll have a knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul desired that. Look in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 8, after he talked about what he had gained as a Jew and accomplished as a Jew, in the verses prior to this, he says in verse 7 beginning, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. All of that he was willing to give up. They were counted as rubbish, as garbage to him. Why? So that he might gain Christ. Notice verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings. You know what fellowship is participation in. Part of His wanting to know Christ is to know Him personally, to know Him experientially, knowing Him by experiencing what He experienced, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. We want to come to know Him personally, to know Him intimately. That's our goal as we study God's Word, as we study the words of our Lord. I want to know Him. To grow unto salvation. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. In verses 1 and 2, Peter says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, notice, that you may grow thereby. Now, I think in the American Standard Version, it says that you may grow thereby unto salvation. That you may grow thereby. A child, a baby, of course, is hungry. It's not probably thinking in terms of, I need to have this to grow. They're just hungry. But we understand that in order for us to grow spiritually, we need God's Word. That's the milk that we need to take in. And we have a desire for it because of its purpose. We have a desire for it because we want to accomplish that which comes as a result of this knowledge. And as we grow, as we study and we learn, we take in the Word of God, then we grow spiritually. We become more like Christ. And we grow into salvation. In other words, without growth, there is no salvation. Without growth, we're not going to know the Lord and we're not going to be saved. I want to study and learn and be saturated with this Word in my life so that I may know Jesus, that I may be saved, in order to discern good and evil. You know, we're told in other places that we are to abhor that which is evil, cling to that which is good. How am I going to abhor the evil and cling to good if I don't know what the evil and the good are? We looked at this passage this morning in Hebrews chapter 5. And we can go back to verse 12 of this passage where the Hebrew writer is really reprimanding these brethren because they had not grown to the point that they could be teachers. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God and have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. As we grow, we learn more of what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil, making that distinction. But that's directly related to one's experience in the Word of Righteousness. Many of these have not become experienced in the Word. But as we grow in knowledge and we learn, we become experienced in the Word, and then we exercise the senses, as we talked about this morning, and we learn how this Word applies to our life, then we're able then to discern between what is good and what is evil. That's our purpose. So that we can then abhor that which is evil and cling to that which is good. In order to be able to answer every man, as we mentioned earlier, 1 Peter 3:15, we're to be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks us a reason of the hope that is within us with meekness and fear. But I need to have a knowledge in order to be able to give this answer and also to be able to teach others. In Acts 8 and verse 4, it was not the apostles, as a matter of fact. When there came a scattering of the Christians from Jerusalem because of a persecution there, it says that those who were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the Word. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. Who was it? Christians like you and me, they went out. They continued to preach the Word. And that's exactly what we need to be doing. But I cannot do that if I do not have a knowledge of His Word. And so a knowledge needs to be looked upon with purpose. And determining that we're going to accomplish this purpose. Also, we need to be able to teach our children. One of the responsibilities of fathers in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 is not to provoke them to anger, to wrath, but to bring them up in the chastening and admonition of the Lord, the training and admonition of the Lord. That includes teaching. Also, that word includes punishment. But they're to be trained. But it includes teaching. How am I going to teach my children if I don't know? Well, we'll let my wife do it. You know, the Lord gave fathers the responsibility here. Yes, mothers should do this. But fathers lead to make sure it's done. And they are also to be involved in the bringing up, the training, the teaching of their children. But I can't do that if I do not know. These are good reasons why we need to be studying the Word of God with purpose. Well, let's look at a third need, and that is we need to have an obedient knowledge. It is not enough to have purpose in our knowledge. The time comes to put our knowledge to action. It does us no good to have the knowledge if we do not then put it into practice in our lives. It has been said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I can intend to obey. I can, one of these days I'm going to get to that and do that. But it will do me no good if I do not put it into practice. Look with me at a few passages here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 through 11, Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to complete the contribution for the needy saints in Jerusalem. They had begun well, but they hadn't completed it. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 10 and 11, "And in this I give advice, it is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do You began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have." Readiness, that's good, but there has to be the completion. There has to be the doing of it, the actually giving, in order for them to have the means to carry to Jerusalem for the needy saints. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus comes in contact with a rich young ruler. You remember the story. The rich young ruler came to Jesus, and you remember the question that he asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?" And as you read through this, I think that this young man was genuine. I think he truly wanted to know what to do to have eternal life. And you remember Jesus told him to keep the commandments. He says, which ones? And Jesus listed the commandments. And he says, all these I have kept from my youth up. What still lack I? And Jesus said, in verse 21 of Matthew 19, He says, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Verse 22 says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He wanted to know something. What must I do to have eternal life? Jesus told him. But he went away sorrowful. He didn't do it. And it did not benefit him. We must put into practice what we learn if we're to be benefited. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Now by this we know that we know Him. How do we know that we know Him? Well, I know about Him. We've studied, we've learned, and we talked about earlier, how do we know Jesus? How do we know God? It's through study, and that's true. But this element here has to be added if we're going to truly know Him. He says, by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. You know, many today in the religious world claim that they love Jesus, and they believe in Jesus, and they follow Jesus. They call themselves Christians. But they believe in once saved, always saved. They believe that what you do has nothing to do with your salvation. They believe in salvation by faith alone. The moment that you put your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're saved, and then what you do doesn't affect your salvation. And that's the way they live their lives. Because believing that, then they're not as concerned about what they do. Now, some would say, no, I want to obey the Lord because I love Him. And that's true. We are to obey the Lord because we love Him. But they have become lax in their obedience because they know that they can be saved and still disobey. I want to say their claim that they know Him, the claim that they make that they love Him, the claim that is made that I have a relationship with Him, they don't even realize it is a false claim. False statements are being made. Because what this is saying is that true relationship with Him, having that relationship involves also doing what He says, putting into practice His will in our lives. And in order to be saved and have our home with Him for all eternity. James, of course, emphasizes the importance of being doers of the Word and not hearers only. In James chapter 1, beginning with verse 22, he says, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man that he was. You know, there was a preacher who built his office. He bought all the equipment that he needed in order to be able to study and learn. But when he got it all set up, he said it was then time to move. It was all set up for that purpose, but then he didn't get it accomplished because he had to pick it all up and move somewhere else. And that's sometimes the way it is. Our purpose is not fulfilled because we have our Bible, we get ready for study, we learn, and we know God's will, but then we don't actually put it into practice within our lives. I've used this illustration before. You know, what would you think of a person who came into our assemblies every Sunday, and every time he was here, he had cotton in his ears? He didn't hear any of the songs that were sung, any prayer that was prayed. He didn't hear any preaching of the Word. And then he would leave. He'd come back and he'd have these cotton in his ears. And you might would say to him, well, why are you coming? You know, you're not getting any benefit out of what we're doing here. What's the purpose in coming? And that would be a good question to ask him. But the question I want to ask us tonight is, what is the difference between him and the person that comes every Sunday hearing, learning, knowing what God's will is, but then they go away and they don't put into practice the things that they have learned? In the final analysis, there is no difference between the one with the cotton in his ears who never learns and the one who learns but never does. The Lord wants us to be doers of the Word. We need to have an obedient knowledge, determining that I am learning for the purpose of putting it into practice. There was a preacher who was telling about a woman that read through the whole Bible, maybe it was the New Testament scriptures in particular, through the year, and her very purpose, every time she would be reading, is there anything in here that I need to do that I'm not doing? Is there anything in here that I am doing that I shouldn't be doing? That is it saying that some things I ought not to be doing that I am? It was for the very purpose of making application to her own life. That's exactly how we need to be reading it. And I'm going to tell you, you know what's going to happen? Unless I'm already perfect, it's going to step on my toes. There are going to be times I'm not going to feel good about the reading. It's going to mean I've got to change in an area that I really don't want to change. It's going to be hard to make those changes. But that's the purpose. That's the reason that we are studying, is so that we can learn to do, that we can put it into practice within our lives. Well, what kind of knowledge do you have as you study the Word of God? We need to have a balanced knowledge. We need to have a purposeful knowledge. And we need to have an obedient knowledge. There could be maybe some here who are not studying at all. You're not reading God's Word. And I want to say, go to God in prayer right now and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me for not studying and learning your will. Do it right now. Don't leave here because you're in sin. You're not living right with God. Repent of that. Come forward. And we'll go to God in prayer on your behalf. If you're not studying and reading God's Word, and I'm talking about my brethren here, if you're not regularly studying with a purposeful knowledge and with an intent of learning, then make those changes. And then make this, the purposeful knowledge, the obedient knowledge, the balanced knowledge, make that a part of the study that you do. And you will grow in the Lord. There will be joy. There will be peace. There will be hope as you go through your life. And that's what the Lord has promised for those who diligently seek after Him. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Well, I appreciate so much your kind attention and hope the things that we've said will help you as you strive to serve the Lord, as you strive to please Him. There may be some here tonight who are not what you ought to be. It may be that you're not a Christian. You've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've never been born again. We want to encourage you to make the decision to give your life to Jesus. Jesus died for you that you might be saved. But in order to be saved by the death of Jesus, you must come to Him in obedience. And we encourage you to make that decision tonight. Come believing that He is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confess your faith, and then be baptized in His name for the remission of sins. If you become a Christian, but you're not living faithful life, a life of service to Him, you're committing sin, then repent of that. Go to God in prayer. Ask Him to forgive you. Come forward and we'll pray on your behalf with that penitent heart. If you need to do that, we urge you to come while together we stand and sing.